What is up, everybody? My name is John Sparks. I am your host for Sparks of the Paranormal. And I want to say a huge thank you to everybody out there that's been showing love and support on the Instagram, the Facebook page, all the podcasting platforms. You guys freaking rock, man. Seriously, thank you so much. And I think we're all really enjoying this journey together as we learn more about UFOs, cryptids, spirits, ghosts, demons, everything that goes bump in the night. And if you guys want to support the show, guess what? I just dropped merch. That's right. If you go to the Instagram page or you go to the Facebook page, you'll find a link there. It's going to get you some sweet, sweet paranormal swag. Maybe some dope hats, some wicked sweet t-shirts, maybe even a bandana for your paranormal pup. That's right. Grab a bandana, slap it on that pup. I want to see a picture on Instagram. With that being said, grab a seat, kids. Get ready, because it's about to get crazy on a brand new episode of Sparks of the Paranormal. Hey, what is up, everybody? Welcome back to the podcast. Welcome back to Sparks of the Paranormal. I am your host, John Sparks. I want to say a huge thank you to everybody that listened last week to our conversation with Tony Cotton Gim from the Appalachian Paranormal Team. That was a fantastic episode. But this week, we've got another really cool episode. I ran into, on the Instagram, because that's really where I meet people, I ran into Jonathan Johnson from the West Virginia Paranormal Investigations, and they shot me over a YouTube video that blew my mind in like the first 3-4 minutes of watching it. They're already getting stuff. And I was like, yo, would you want to be on the podcast? And here we are. So guys, I would like to introduce to you Jonathan Johnson. Jonathan, how are you doing today?
I'm great. I really appreciate you having me on, and thanks for the kind words. We're really excited about the web series, so I'm always glad to receive some positive feedback.
And it's really cool because you guys are literally going out to, just like the name of the series, Forgotten Relics, these old places that nobody's even thought about in years.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, we are going to some of the bigger name locations, but we're also hitting a lot of ones that are a lot lesser known, which I've been personally tend to get some of the better evidence on a lot of occasions. So we're going to try to shed some light on some other locations that are pretty awesome.
Yeah, and that's one thing that I've noticed just in the short time that I've been doing this podcast is that if you go to places that nobody goes to, how often do those spirits get to talk to people if nobody goes there? So they're going to be more active.
Right, yeah.
They're going to be more active. I mean, I know that when I don't get to talk to people, I get a little scrappy and, you know, I want to talk to somebody. So the first person that comes along, I'm starting up a conversation. I imagine in death, it's the same way.
That's been my experience for sure.
So I got to ask, what got you started into the paranormal?
It's honestly been just like kind of a lifelong fascination with the paranormal and ghosts in general. My mom grew up in a house that she swore was haunted. She would hear people walking around at night. Her mom would yell at her to get back in bed, and she'd be laying there in bed covered up under the blanket, scared to death because she heard the footsteps too. So unfortunately, I never got to investigate that house because it got torn down, but just growing up hearing those stories really kind of sparked that interest. And when I got to college and got off on my own a little bit, I started doing a lot more research into the paranormal and into ghost hunting, and started watching some of the TV shows that kind of got popular around that time, and then just kind of took off from there.
That's really cool, and I gotta know, how did you find your team? Like, how have you guys known each other the whole time, or did you just kind of stumble upon them? How did you guys meet each other?
Myself and Rich, who is the co-founder, we're actually cousins, and it's kind of a crazy story because we live literally 100 yards apart. His family lives right next to mine, and he's a little bit older. He's about 10 years older than me, but we had never, ever discussed it. Nobody ever knew that we both had an interest in the paranormal, and he had a near-death experience from a car accident that kind of sparked his interest. When I started the group or reached out, just put something out on Facebook, I think it was, and said, hey, has anybody ever heard any ghost stories? I know any places that are haunted. He reached out to me. He's like, hey. And then we started talking. I was like, oh, man, I had no idea. And then we decided to start the group, and it's just been on from there.
Wow, a near-death experience. That's, ooh, that is intense.
Yeah, he was actually in a coma for a while, and he was out of his body, like an out-of-body experience, where he saw people in the operating room with him, and he could tell people what they were doing. The doctor said there's no way he should have been able to know what was going on in the state that he was in.
That's nuts. That is absolutely nuts.
It really is, yeah.
So what, once you guys kind of got together, who's in your team? What team do you have laid out here, and what do they do?
Rich is kind of taking a step back. He's got a family. He's got kids. He's got a lot going on. So he would join us occasionally. But right now there's three core members in the group. Myself, Vanessa is my girlfriend. She's the case manager. She does a lot of the reach out to clients and locations and things like that. And then we have Scott, who is our tech manager. He does a lot with our equipment and designing new things and coming up with new ideas.
That's really cool. And I got to say, while watching that episode, I love that you guys, one of my favorite things is the sensory deprivation when you blindfold and you're just listening to the spirit box and have somebody else asking questions. That is, I'm mind blown, especially like in this episode, because 90% of the responses are exactly what is being asked.
Yeah, the Estes, it's called the Estes method. If anybody's listening and not familiar, basically it's just what you described. The person who's listening has noise-canceling headphones on and blindfold, so they don't know what's being asked. They can't see the reaction of the person who's asking the questions, so basically have no idea what's going on. And then if somebody asks a question and you're able to get a direct response, I mean, it's a lot better than just listening to a spirit box and hearing the response that you might want to hear. So we've really taken that experiment, kind of ran with it, and it's one of our favorite things to do.
That's one thing that I've noticed that I'm not sure if a lot of people have thought about it, and I think that's why the Estes method came around, is because the ear can also matrix. It's not just the eyes.
Absolutely.
So
yeah, 100%.
Yeah, so I got another question that I have to know is, so far, what is your favorite investigation?
That's a really tough question. The Sweet Spring Sanitarium episode, which is here in West Virginia, the one that we have part one out now and part two is coming up pretty soon. That's the first time we'd ever been there. Cindy's a good friend of ours. She's the one who's in charge of investigations and the historic research there. And the evidence that we captured was just unbelievable. So that one's hard to top. But I've been to a lot of places. I've been to Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum.
Wow.
Which is a very famous location. West Virginia Penitentiary here in Moundsville. I filmed one of my TV shows for the Travel Channel there, so that was a really cool thing.
Wow.
I've been to Waverly a couple times, so Sally House in Kansas. I mean, there's so many of them that I could pick.
Wow. I'm getting chills just hearing the places that you've been. Like, that's, wow. Just, you've been to some big ones already. I mean, I know that just as a kid, the first time that I saw, there was an episode, I think, on the Discovery Channel or something about the Sally House. And, you know, I had to be maybe 10, 11, maybe 12 years old. I was freaking out. I was like, this dude is just trying to protect his family, and there's no way that's a little girl. Like, she's straight up scratching him.
It's definitely not a little girl there. I can assure you of that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't want to throw around the word demonic, but I'm going to say hardcore negative. Hardcore negative.
Yeah, that's the only place in, what it's been 13 years and I've been doing it. That's the only place where I would even consider it being something demonic. I'm not 100% sure on that, but it's the only place that's ever made me question that. We actually stayed there. I stayed probably a total of over a week.
Wow.
Consecutively investigating every night there. I've been scratched there. I've seen some just stuff that I can't even explain. So it definitely lives up to the reputation.
That's mildly horrifying.
Yeah.
Just walk in. What's up, Sally House? Scratch across the face. No thanks. All right, I get it. You're haunted. You know, have a good one.
Yeah, it's it's definitely intimidating for sure, but I kind of like to push myself and the team the same way. We're out to get evidence. We don't like to provoke, but any other way that we can do it, I mean, we're definitely trying to prove what's out there.
Exactly, and you know, I don't believe in provoking myself. You know, we were talking about this before we got on here. You know, people are people. You know, even in death, you're still a person, and you know, you may have just been a jerk in life, and that's why you're a jerk in death. It doesn't mean you're demonic or whatever, but everybody still deserves the respect and does not need to be threatened or provoked.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, the only place where we'll get a little bit, not necessarily aggressive, but kind of authoritative is somewhere like the penitentiary in Moundsville or something like that, just where they're used to having that stern voice, and sometimes if you use that, it can kind of trigger a response, but you still got to respect whatever might be there.
Exactly. So what is so far in your, you said 13 years of doing this, what is your favorite piece of evidence that you have caught thus far?
There's so many. I mean, the one that always stands out is probably one of the very first things that we had happen when Rich and I first started. The group, we reached out, like I said, online. Somebody that I had went to school with said, hey, there's this old farmhouse down in the middle of nowhere. We've been there. A lot of stuff has happened. Mm. So he put us in contact with the owner. He invited us out. Literally the first time we were ever out there, we were setting up just a basic recorder because that's all we had at the time. I thought Rich had went upstairs, so I heard the door that goes upstairs open and close. It unlatched and closed. So I walked over and opened it and said, hey, Rich. And at that exact moment, he walked through the front door. He had been outside to go get something from the car. He said he came around the corner and my face was just completely white.
Oh, yeah. Well, no kidding.
Anytime, I mean, that's like the very first thing where I was like, oh, man, like, this may be legit. So that one always stands out above some of the others.
That's definitely a head scratcher. I don't know, like, if I was in there and my cousin walked back in after that, I'd be like, not awkward, but door just kind of did a thing here, and you weren't in here. So, haunted?
Yeah, I thought for sure that he had been, went upstairs. Like I said, we weren't actually investigating, we were just getting stuff set up, so it wasn't a big deal to me at the time that he went upstairs, but I had to ask him something to open the door, and he walked in, and I was like, oh, man, so... Yeah.
That's insane. So, when did your girlfriend realize that the paranormal was something that she wanted to get into? Was she somebody that had something happen to her, or is it just she's always been obsessed like you?
Yeah, basically just kind of, again, a lifelong fascination. She had been to some places, just to do some, like, public tours and things like that. So then when we got together, we've talked about it a lot more, and then we started going to some of these other places, and then she just kind of fell in with us and just wanted to go more and more.
And Scott, is he the same way, just a lifelong obsession as well, or?
He actually grew up in a house that he had a lot of experiences in when he was younger.
Mm-hmm.
So he had been with another group a while back who had kind of stopped for a little bit, so he had sent us a message through the Facebook page, and he's like, hey, if you ever need anybody, let me know. And we had an investigation where we needed an extra person, so I messaged him back just kind of as a one-off thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just clicked so good and got along so well, and now he's a big part of the group.
No, that's freaking cool, though. I mean, the paranormal just bringing people together, you know?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it really is a great way. Kind of like I always tell people, the paranormal is one of the things that bridges all cultures and ethnicities and just life experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll meet people from every walk of life who have had something happen to them.
Exactly. And I hate this, you know, the stigma that was around, you know, when we were younger, where people were like, oh, we can't really talk about that. You know, if you talk about that, you're clearly crazy. No such thing as ghosts, blah, 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 blah. Or everything's a demon. That's the devil. And now here we are in a society where it's becoming more and more mainstream. They're like, oh, okay, maybe it's actually happening, because now we have the ways to prove things scientifically.
Yeah, and I mean, that's a great point. I grew up in a really Christian, very religious household, and a lot of my family, when I first got into it, weren't really on board, because, like you said, everybody just kind of thought, oh, you're just messing with demons and things like that. And once you kind of talk to them, explain, they've become a lot more accepting over the years. Mm-hmm. Occasionally, you'll still run into somebody like that, but especially with the explosion of the TV shows and things like that, people are a lot more open to the ideas now.
Yeah, and, you know, even with the TV shows, like, guys, if you're listening out there, take some of that stuff with a grain of salt, because you got to remember, it's a TV show, and they're actually playing to the camera. So, take that with a grain of salt.
There's definitely a lot of showmanship. I mean, you can't put a TV show on out there and just have nothing happen for 45 minutes.
Yeah,
and get ratings. So I don't think it's a lot of them necessarily fake things, but it definitely is not exactly how it happened. So
yeah,
that's what we wanted to do, kind of with Forgotten Relics, is kind of like the down and dirty look at it, like the realistic look, cut out a lot of the fluff and things like that, so you can see actually what happens during an investigation.
And it's really cool. I love the kind of that small vibe that you've got, because in the episode there are four people. It's you, it's Cindy, Vanessa, and Scott, and you're all filming each other, and it's not like there's a camera crew following you around, you know, trying to make everything look all pretty and junk. It's you guys, nitty-gritty, down, boots on the ground, making it happen.
Yeah, that's exactly what we wanted to do. I mean, we definitely have stepped up our equipment a lot to try to put out the best product we can, but
yeah,
we're not running around with film crews, we're not running around with $10,000, $20,000 cameras, we're not running around with these massive budgets. I mean, we're all doing it out of our pocket and putting in the time and the effort to try to put out a good product, which the first part of the episode is out now. I'm really proud of it, and part two is going to be, honestly, probably even a little bit better.
I'll be honest with you. If it even touches part one, I'm gonna be blown away. And you know, Jesus, there's so much packed into that first, you know, 38 minutes that you guys just put out that, I mean, just left me scratching my head.
Yeah, I honestly went into it just trying. I was gonna just do the one part episode, and then I got into it and started doing the editing. I was like, there's no way.
There's no way.
This is definitely a two-parter, so yeah, part two has got some twists and turns to it as well.
Yeah, no, you released that all in one, and I'm sorry, that's not a part, that's a full-blown movie, my friend.
Oh yeah, it's 2 hours, yeah, for sure.
that's just so cool that you guys are just out there, and you're literally producing your own show, and I love it. You know, that's something that, as somebody who has been into film and been into the paranormal and everything for so long, I have a huge appreciation for the work that you guys are putting into this.
Yeah, we really appreciate that. We want to put out a product that's, like I said, entertaining, but we don't want it to be over the top or anything like that.
Yeah, you don't want to lose the voice of what you're doing.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, do you guys do residential investigations at all?
When we first got into it, we used to do a lot of residentials. Over the years, we've cut back and basically stopped doing them altogether, mostly for liability reasons. We ran into some things where we didn't feel comfortable, just because people would leave money laying around, or people would give us a key to the house and then not come get it back, and then if something happens, then you're on the hook for it, and things like that. So we kind of stepped away from that. We'll answer questions and kind of walk people through stuff if they're having issues, but we don't go out to do residentials anymore.
Okay. Do you guys do, I don't know, like active businesses as well?
Yeah, absolutely. If nobody's living there and you're having stuff going on and you're open to it, absolutely. Yeah, we're actually going to go talk to somebody who owns an antique store here in West Virginia who's been having some activity. So we're going to talk to them and hopefully film another episode, which will be pretty cool. Having a lot of the antiques and things like that there could trigger some activity as well.
An antique store. Why am I not surprised?
Exactly.
I mean, it's literally people's, you know, it's the things that they loved in life that even the family was like, we're not going to throw it away, but we know because somebody wants this. They're like, here, you sell it, and somebody's going to pick that up. And I don't know if you believe in the stone tape theory, but I do. That there may be, you know, a piece of the soul attached to that object. And that's why, you know, Grandma's crock pot is haunted and is now living in the Joneses' house.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're 100% spot on. We don't have it in this particular episode, but some of the investigations we've done, we've actually featured specific items that we've either came across or people have given, and we've tried to focus a little bit of the investigation on that item or those items. And for whatever reason, when you bring those in and mix it in with whatever might already be there, it always tends to spark some different activity.
Of course, when you bring a small flame next to another small flame, you get a big flame.
That's a great way to put it.
So I've got to ask, what is your favorite object that you have found that has been haunted? Like, maybe just something that is completely obscure, or just what's your favorite piece that you found that's haunted?
We actually investigated a church here in West Virginia. We're not allowed to say where or anything, but because it's an active church.
Of course.
So they're having a lot of activity. And we've actually been out at an antique store in the area, and we actually found a Bible from the early 1900s, and we had found a rosary, and we had brought those into the location, and it produced some of the craziest evidence that we've ever captured. I really wish we could have released it to the public for everybody to see, but it was actually kind of mind-blowing, some of the stuff that happened.
Okay, you've got me intrigued, and I'm actually now really upset that you can't release it.
Yeah, we were pretty upset, too, that we couldn't get to go ahead to release it, but they were afraid of how the parishioners and everything would react to it. So,
well, of course.
There was a school near it, and they didn't want to get in trouble with the state, so
yeah,
we didn't get to go ahead, but yeah, I mean, when we brought the Bible and the rosary in, stuff kind of went off the rails.
I get that because I went to a church, actually the first church that I ever went to. My parents and I ended up spending like 10 years going to that church, but there was always something, you know, like you could just feel or see something out of the corner of your eye, and you know that there's nobody over there, or you're hearing something when you're walking the hallways alone, but you can't say anything because people are going to be like, demon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, people are kind of touchy for sure, but, I mean, it's understandable.
Yeah, and it sucks, but I for one, I'm glad that somebody at the church was like, okay, maybe we should contact somebody just to come take a look.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it was definitely, I mean, they're definitely validated by what we had happened, so.
Yeah.
They were right to reach out.
Yeah, because some of that stuff where, you know, you've got to think. I was talking to one of my previous guests on the show, and we were talking about how I compare ghosts to children in the matter of, you know, if you keep ignoring it and ignoring it and ignoring it, it's only going to get worse and worse and worse until they're screaming at you.
Right.
And by that time, when you bring somebody in, of course it's going to come off worse.
That's a good correlation for sure.
So, Jonathan, what do you guys have coming up next?
We are actually not sure when this is going to get released, but we're actually going to be down at Sweet Springs the last two weekends in October helping Cindy run some public investigations and some flashlight tours. So we're going to try to help raise money for Sweet Springs to help fund renovations there to try to bring it back to its former glory. As far as the web series, we got part two coming out very soon, and then we have another one in the chamber that as soon as part two is done, this one is filmed at, it's called the Heyman House in Sutton, West Virginia, another lesser known location, but the key piece of evidence we captured there, I won't spoil it, but it is probably the most unexplainable thing that I've ever experienced.
Stop teasing me, Jonathan.
I work in sales. That's what I gotta do. Gotta keep them wanting more.
Well, you're doing a very good job at it. So I'm excited. I cannot wait for part two to drop. I'm almost on the edge of my seat. I'm ready for it. I literally just watched through it twice today, and part one, and I'm floored. I'm floored. You guys are finding some fantastic stuff.
You caught something that we might not even have caught, so I'm going to go back and rewatch it myself now.
I did.
We got something else that we might have missed, which could make it even more impressive.
So what he's talking about, guys, go on, and in like the first 10 minutes, there's something going on in the bathroom, and the team walks over, and Scott's got his handheld camera pointed in the bathroom, and there's a moment where Scott is actually standing still, and if you take a close look, it's very subtle, and it's slow as it happens, but the wheelchair actually rolls back slightly, like maybe quarter of an inch, half inch, full inch, something like that, but it's minuscule, but if you look close enough, you'll see it. And I was like, okay, no way. You don't get to have that too. And, you know, I mean, I may be wrong. I've been wrong once before. Just once. But this could
just
be time
once,
too.
Yeah.
Okay, so, Jonathan, if you could, as we're wrapping this up, can you go ahead for me and for everybody out there, throw out all of your social medias?
Absolutely. YouTube is number one. We're really trying to get our subscriber base built up. We're going to start releasing a lot more content, the web series, and a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff, some stuff that just missed a cut, some really good evidence that we couldn't quite fit into the episodes, a lot of behind-the-scenes, like I said, kind of some blooper stuff, some reactions, things like that. So we're going to start putting out a lot more content. So it's youtube.com/WVPARA, WVPARA. That's the best way to kind of check us out. Facebook is also really important to us. We're trying to get a lot of likes there. So just search West Virginia Paranormal Investigations. And Instagram, where we met, is out there as well. It's WV Para Investigation. So check us out on all three of those, and get ready for some awesome content coming out.
Absolutely. I can only fathom what is going to come out of what you guys are doing here with this Forgotten Relics series. I know, obviously, we all know the big stuff is going to have the big stuff, but the little stuff is probably going to have bigger stuff. So, guys, go out there. Follow them on YouTube, follow them on Facebook, follow them on Instagram, pay attention, look, learn, love, interact. You know, I know that these paranormal teams want to hear your stories. They want to know what you guys have going on. They want to know what you think. And go do that for everyone in the paranormal field. No matter how big, no matter how small, everyone deserves love and support. So go do that for me, and we will talk to you guys next time, which is going to be a really good episode, by the way. I'll put out a teaser later, but for me, it's huge. So guys, we'll talk to you next time on Sparks of the Paranormal.